Okay, you ready? You can hear me okay? Great, we're on. Perfect. Awesome. Let's go. I'm Peter Little, lead pastor at Christ Pacific Church in Huntington Beach, California. We're cultivating a community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world. And you're listening to our Sunday Sermons podcast. To learn more about us or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at cpchb.org. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. My name is Dean Bobar. I'm the Adult Life Minister here. So good to be with you all in person on campus, and hello to you all at home, whether you're watching live or later on. For those of you who get to know me, you know that I'm somewhat of a nerd. I like to geek out on lots of different kinds of things. One of the things I love is history. And one of the eras of history that I particularly love are World War I and World War II. And beginnings and endings in history are particularly fascinating to me. Did you know that back in 2012, the last living veteran of World War I passed away? Or at least the last, there's debate about it. Some people say it's later, but there's only maybe a handful left. Some say they're all gone. But Florence Green, she was a British woman, seems to have been the last living veteran who did not see combat. She served in the Allied Armed Forces, and on February 4th, 2012, she died at the age of 110. We have lots of testimony and evidence from that time period. We have pictures, movies. You can go visit archaeological sites. You can go visit places to experience what World War I is like. But we've lost something when we no longer have the people with us who fought in that war. A sense of aliveness of what it was about, their input, their perspective. We can't ask them questions. And this got me thinking about the Christian faith, about Christianity. After the first generation of Christians passed away, did we lose something? Is it like maybe some of the critics of Christianity say that after each generation, we get further and further away from Jesus in the first century AD? Do we lose something of the truth of our faith? How do we stay connected to Jesus some 2,000 years later? Well, Christianity is about so much more than an account of past events. Yes, the Christian faith is rooted in history, but ultimately it's about the living reality of God, about the mission of God. We're in our Sent sermon series. It's the third of 3 weeks where we're exploring our identity as God's sent people. And at the heart of the Christian faith is God's mission to save the world. This is a mission that starts about 2000 BC with Abraham as God forms a people for himself. It climaxes in Christ's coming and ministry, his death and resurrection, and it's still going on some 2,000 years later, encompassing our life stories. We've been hearing from Jesus in John 20, verses 19 through 23, how we're sent by the Father in the Spirit to witness. We're sent by the Father. Just like Jesus, we are sent by the Father. Jesus sends us as his ambassadors to extend God's mission of saving the world. We're sent in the Spirit, just like Jesus. We take part in God's mission as we rely on the power and direction of the Spirit, just like a plane has to rely on the power and direction of the wind, as you might feel it blowing if you're here in person. And the Spirit is blowing, the Spirit is moving. The question is, will you and I get in on what God is doing in the world, right here, right now, where we're at? Whether we're in quarantine or not, we are still God's sent people. And finally, we are sent to witness. Like Jesus, we are sent to witness to Jesus. Jesus came to witness to himself because he is the one who came and brought God's kingdom, who brought salvation to the world. Like Jesus, we are sent to witness, and we're going to explore that this morning. And our witness as Jesus' disciples is no less significant because some 2,000 years separate us from his first coming. But it's not like being a witness to World War I. It's not like Florence Green and her witness. Because what made the witness of people like Peter and Paul so significant wasn't just that they were there in the first generation. It's because the Spirit was at work in and through them, alongside them. And the same Spirit that empowered and led Jesus' first disciples has been doing the same for each generation and does the same for us. And so very often I think we think of witnessing as this very narrow thing. it's me sharing my testimony at just the right time. And beyond that, I just have to kind of wait. And God's going to create this perfect time for me to share with a family member at Thanksgiving who doesn't know the Lord. I have to wait for just the perfect right window. And that's when I get to be a witness. No, I want to broaden out what we usually think of witnessing to include two areas that Jesus talks about: the witness of God's Spirit and the witness of our way of life. So that's what we're going to talk about: the witness of God's Spirit first and the witness of our way of life. We're going to hear about this from Jesus in John 15, verses 26 and 27, as Tensi read earlier. This is part of Jesus' farewell teaching that we've been going back to in several places so we can understand what did Jesus mean when he said that we're sent by the Father in the Spirit to witness. So let's get started with the witness of God's Spirit. We don't actually hear Jesus use those words witness in John 20. So why did I say that we're sent to witness? Well, in verse 23, this is what Jesus says. He says something that's kind of shocking when you think about it. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Did you hear what Jesus said? It sounds like we actually have the power to forgive people. On a first reading, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like Jesus saying, yeah, you can go around and you can just say, hey, you're forgiven. You, nope, you're not forgiven. It can possibly lead someone to have a power trip, you know, just walking around going, yep, I can declare you're forgiven and you're not. No, that's not what Jesus is saying, though. That's not what he's getting at. No, we are sent as Christ's ambassadors. The Holy Spirit comes alongside us. We're sent in the Spirit to witness to God's gracious forgiveness through Jesus. It's about God's Spirit working in and through us. What Jesus is saying that we can declare forgiveness in Christ's name or withhold it. This seems to make the most sense to me of a difficult verse. And I think that Jesus states the matter so strongly because you and I are God's plan A to get the word out about the Savior of the world. You and I are God's plan A to get the good news out that Jesus came, he brought God's kingdom, he showed us how to live, he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again for our new everlasting life and is seated at the right hand of the Father, at work in the world through the Spirit, and will come again to make all things new. We are witnesses to that Savior. We are God's plan A. It's not like the angels are God's plan A and we're God's plan B when it doesn't work out with the angels. No, we are God's plan A as followers of Jesus. So I want you to stop for a moment, maybe close your eyes, and think of all the people in your world who do not yet know Jesus. Picture their faces, whether they're in your family, friends, your workplace, your social connections, that grocer you encountered at Smart and Final who doesn't know the Lord, wherever. Take a moment, picture all those faces. It's entirely possible, maybe even probable, that Jesus is sending you in the Spirit to them to share the good news about him. That he is going to use you to take part in leading them to Jesus, to faith in him. Now notice that I didn't say leading you to convert them, and we'll get more into that in a little bit. This is a serious calling though, isn't it? Jesus says, if you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. You actually have the power to declare that to people, for people to hear and receive that good news. It's a weighty thing. But thankfully, we are sent in the Spirit. Jesus tells us in John 15, verses 26 and 27, that the Spirit bears witness alongside of us. The Spirit bears witness, we bear witness. Last week, we explored how we're sent in the Spirit, how and why the Holy Spirit is called the Helper and the Spirit of Truth. He's the Helper because he comes alongside of us and helps us to serve God. He's the Spirit of Truth because he leads us into the truth that sets us apart for service to God. And this week, we're going to talk how the Spirit is at work to guide and empower us as Jesus' witnesses. Now, the way that Jesus talks about being a witness of his is it's part of this discipleship journey. Being a disciple means being an apprentice of Jesus. It means being involved with what he's up to in the world, leading others to become disciples as well. But before we talk about that discipleship journey, I want to clear up a couple misconceptions that I've encountered and that I've believed at times in the past. The first misconception is that it is our role to convert people. It is our role to convert people. This is perhaps one of the biggest barriers in being a witness when we mistakenly believe this. That's actually the Holy Spirit's role. That's not ours. Listen to what Jesus says in John 16, verses 8 through 11, when he talks about the Spirit coming. And when he, the Helper, the Spirit of truth comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. We don't need to go into all the things that the Holy Spirit convicts people of, but do you hear anything in there about us doing the convicting, us doing the leading people in the sense of what's happening in their hearts? No, it's the Holy Spirit's job. I haven't found anywhere in Scripture where anyone has argued into God's kingdom, where anyone is convinced with just the right kind of arguments that that's all it takes. No, it's about the Spirit being at work. So that's the first misconception. It is our role to convert people. No, rather, our calling as Jesus' witnesses is to converse with people, to engage with them in conversation and in life, not to convert them. I got that way of framing it from a guy named Pete Colon, who was a volunteer missionary or volunteer pastor and missionary for a number of years. And he's part of the Huntington Landmark study that I've been leading for a number of years. And it's stuck with me ever since. I love it. Our calling is to converse, not to convert. The second misconception is that conversion is the point of sharing the gospel. Conversion is the point of sharing the gospel. Conversion is the starting point. It's the starting point, but not the main point. Making it the main point is like thinking that being a parent is just about giving birth to the baby and then you're done. No, there's a whole process that's involved in being a parent. And I know I don't want anyone to mishear me on this, where there might be cases or times when it might be best for a parent in a life situation to not raise their own child and have it be adopted. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just using it as a metaphor here. I don't want people to mishear that, if that's part of your story. But Jesus is interested in making disciples, not converts. He never says, go therefore and make converts of all peoples. He says, go therefore and make disciples, learners, apprentices of mine. So let's talk about what it's really about, what witnessing is part of this journey of discipleship. Witnessing is more about joining other people on their journey of faith towards Christ. It's about engaging with others and focusing on the fact that Christ is already at work in their lives. That I'm getting involved. I'm a participant in God's mission as God's Spirit leads me, as God's Spirit empowers me. You never know for certain where someone is on their journey of faith. We might have some idea, but really we don't know what's going on inside someone's mind and heart. Only the Lord does. It might be helpful to think of this journey in terms of a continuum, where one is someone is hostile to Christ and 10 is a fully devoted follower of Christ. God's Spirit decides when and how we're going to impact people in this journey. We might move someone from 1 to 2, where someone's completely hostile, doesn't want to have anything to do with Christ, and you loved on them and they're just a little bit more open than before. Or maybe you move them from 3 to 4. They're going, you know what? I think I'm going to start attending that Bible study or reading scripture with this person or going to church. Or maybe you might be at, let's say, 6 or 7, where someone gives their life over to the Lord. But for some people, they don't know when that actually happens. They just look back over a 6-month period and go, hey, I became a follower of Jesus somewhere in 2019. I don't know when and how exactly it happened, but I am one. But if we focus on just that one moment, we're going to miss out on what God does in people's lives. When I think back on my journey to Jesus, there were several people that God used as God's Spirit was at work. I think of Pastor Anderson, the senior pastor at Kingdom of Glory Lutheran, who preached the gospel faithfully week in, week out. I didn't realize later on that that's what he's doing, but as a kid going to church, I heard it and it soaked in to my mind and my heart. I think of the associate pastor, Dave Matheson, who loved on kids and was part of confirmation and Sunday school and other Sunday school teachers who poured into me. I think of our youth director, Peter, who led me to Christ up in Forest Home Christian Camp. That's part of my story. I can pinpoint the time when I gave my life over, where he engaged me with conversations about creation and evolution. It was some intellectual barrier. That's not what got me there, but it was a barrier that was in the way. Maybe you can think back on your journey towards Jesus and can think of all the different people that were involved. And then use that as a model, as a picture for how God might use you and the people you thought about. So we're not called to convert. We're called to engage. And it's a big journey that we're on with people. We're called to trust Jesus and listen for his direction. And this is actually really freeing, I found. Because I don't need to have everything figured out to be a witness. I don't have to wait for that right moment. I just need to be paying attention to what's happening in people's lives and what God's Spirit is up to. My calling is to get the gospel out as he leads me and to lean on the Spirit's witness alongside me. Jesus calls us to pursue him and be faithful to the empowering and leading of God's Spirit. So being a witness of Jesus is more about the work of the Spirit of truth than anything I say or do. Having said that, what we say or do matters a lot. Both things are true. I want to also broaden out our calling as Jesus witnesses to include our way of life. What we do, not just what we say. I think that our way of life is the beginning of our testimony. The way that we do life is the beginning of our testimony. In fact, you could have the best possible testimony and theological answers, but if you are a jerk and your life is not attractive in any sort of way as to how to do life, I don't know how effective God's going to use you. Now, God can work in us in any situation he chooses to and how he makes things work. But it would be better to be a loving person that knows a tenth of what the jerk knows and share that. So what is it about our way of life that can testify, can point to Jesus? What are some of the things about our way of life that can point to Jesus? Is there anyone willing to raise their hand and throw some things up? What are some of the things about our way of life as Jesus followers that can point towards Jesus? Our attitude, yeah. What about our attitude, Paul? Yeah, how we handle life, how we persevere. Yeah, good. Maybe a couple other people. Our honesty, yeah. Being people of integrity. Yeah, good. Karen. Helping others, yeah, especially those in need. Yeah. I think all of these things are the kind of things that Jesus talked about in John 13 when he gave a new commandment. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, he says this: "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another." He just sacrificially washed their feet, and he was pointing to the cross. And then in verse 35, he says, "By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The more we live together as a community of Jesus-like love, the more we point towards Jesus. And notice that it's not just my testimony, it's our testimony. It's how we love one another that testifies to Jesus. In the midst of quarantine, we can stand out together as Jesus' disciples, maybe like never before, because people are more willing to listen, because people are hurting. We can earn the right to be heard even more so than before. And we can begin to point to the one for whom we live, the one whose way we follow. The goal is that our Jesus-like love for one another would overflow and bless the community and bless the neighbors around us, even to other parts of the world, places even like Guatemala, where God's at work there. This is built into our mission statement as a church, our DNA. We're seeking to cultivate a vibrant community of faith, hope, and love that follows Jesus into the world so our neighbors may also experience God's goodness. It's out of the overflow of our life together that we go out and serve and follow Jesus into the world. Now, I want to close with some practical matters, as I have for the other two messages in the Sent Sermon series, to flesh this out a bit. Particularly, I want to share our approach to disciple making that we call the Triple L approach to disciple making that we teach here at Roots. Roots is our discipleship course that we teach a couple times a year, where we invite people to consider what it looks like to put down roots here as a community of disciples and to grow in their faith. These three L's stand for love, listen, and lead. Love, listen, and lead. And by the way, we're going to be doing Roots coming up in October on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. We're going to do one Zoom night and one hopefully in person, whether outside or in a room. We'll see what it's going to be like. That's to be determined. But what would invite you to consider doing that. So let's start with love. The first L, love others as Jesus would. We've already been talking about this. People need to know that you care before they care what you know. People need to know that you care before they care what you know or whom you know. When you're loved by Jesus, it changes you. And that begins to show more and more over time. How would Jesus love those people in your world if he were in your shoes? Dallas Willard, I think it's in his book, Divine Conspiracy, says that WWJD, remember that phrase some 20 years ago, what would Jesus do, was big. I remember in high school for me. He says that that's a great phrase, but it needs to have some other letters attached onto it. What would Jesus do if he were in your shoes? WWJDIWI, it's too long, never mind. But I think you get the point. What would it look like if Jesus were living your particular life, dealing with your problems, your kinds of relationships, the things you were called to? What would that look like? How could you incarnate the Jesus way of life in your life? We enter into relationship with people, showing them the way of Jesus, even before we begin to talk about God or the gospel. A couple days ago, my stepdad, Alan, came over and he helped install a fan in one of our kids' rooms. And let's just be honest, I was helping him. He wasn't coming to help me, I was helping him. I'm not very mechanically or practically oriented, and there was a lot of electrical work that needed to be done that I didn't feel comfortable with. I felt like I'd burn down the house if I tried it. So he was over helping doing that, and over the years, he's taught me some things, you know, here and there. My dad, who's now he's passed away, he didn't really teach me a lot of stuff, so it's come a little bit later in life. So I was putting some blades onto the fan in another room, and it dawned on me, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go call Toby over. He likes to do this kind of stuff, and I can, you know, teach him some more kinds of things. So he came up, he was super excited. He helped, you know, get the washers and the screws ready. He did even a lot of them, maybe even most of them. I did a lot of the tightening. And in that moment, I realized here's a picture of discipleship. Here's a picture of being an apprentice of Jesus. Alan, my stepdad, had poured into me. And now I was in turn pouring into Toby, teaching him. Because being a disciple is an apprentice. It's taking on the way of life of someone else or particular practices. And so I had learned some things and I was now passing it on. And that's simply what discipleship is people pour, you get poured into by people further along the way, and you pour into other people. How can we do that for one another? So that's the first L, love others as Jesus would. The second L is listen. Listen to God and others' life story. Listen to God and others' life story. I think that witnessing to Jesus has so much more to do with listening than speaking most of the time. The more we listen, the more we really hear where people are at, their life story, their, as I talked about last week, their highs, their lows, their hurts, their hopes. The more we do that, the better we can speak gracious truth to others. And during this time of crisis, there are a lot of opportunities to listen to others. Whether it's on Zoom, a phone call, in our front yards, socially distanced, whatever that looks like. Because a lot of people are hurting. A lot of people are broken. Some people are lost right now. You get the sense in the Gospels that Jesus was a really good listener. He would go to parties. He would He would engage with people, he would know where people are at, and he would impact them with God's healing love and power at work as God's Spirit led him. This is one of the ways that we can love one another as Jesus would. John 1:14 says that Jesus came full of grace and truth as the Word became flesh. We bear witness to Jesus as we embody God's grace, God's truth by being present and by offering generous listening to people. Really taking the time to listen, not waiting to share what I want to share, not waiting to fix things, but waiting to really hear people's hearts. So love others as Jesus would, listen to God and others' life story, and lead them to the good news of Jesus. As we love, as we listen, we give God's Spirit more and more opportunities to lead us, to lead others to the gospel. God's Spirit bears witness in and through us, along with us. We have opportunities as we go deeper to share scriptures with people, to pray for them, to share about how God's saving grace through Christ has impacted us. And eventually we can bring them to the gospel so that people might encounter Jesus and his call to follow him, to repent, to believe in him, to turn around and embrace this new way of life, trusting in Jesus the King. Our witness is not like a dead witness. It's not like those who witnessed World War I. It's an alive thing that's happening. Each new generation passes on the witness and faith as they live and rely on God's Spirit. But you could say that our witness is a bit like Florence Green's in one respect. It does involve a war, but it's a war that's been won through what God has done on the cross. And people need to know about that. They need to hear about it from us. They need to hear this good news as God's Spirit testifies as we walk in the way of Jesus. Friends, let us embrace those opportunities right where you're at, because you might be uniquely where you're at in people's lives, where I can't be, where Tim and Tansy can't be, where Pastor Peter can't be, where Don and Joyce can't be, and so forth and so on. God might have you uniquely in a unique place, and he might be doing something in and through you. Let's pray. Living Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us of your Spirit. You send your Spirit to empower us, to lead us, to take part in what you're doing in the world. We thank you that being your witnesses is not dependent wholly upon us, but really upon what you're doing through your Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would meet us right now. If we need renewal, put a spark in our hearts, Lord. If we're broken, meet us with comfort and healing. Lord, if we're doubting, give us the gift of faith. Lord, if we need wisdom, help us to trust in your leading. We thank you that you are faithful and good, and you love us, and you're present with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining our Christ Pacific Sunday Sermon podcast. To hear more of our sermons, or to subscribe, or to learn how you can be engaged with what we're up to in Huntington,